الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ابي القاسم المصطفى محمد
صل على محمد
وعلى اهل بيته الاطيبين الانجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توغا وتمتعه فيها طويلا Throughout the talks that were delivered here, we use the term Aba Abdullah a lot. Just some clarification on this title. May that be Aba Abdullah, Abu Abdullah, or Abi Abdullah. Whenever you hear this name being mentioned in the Maqatil, or when it is referred to the tragedy of Karbala, it means Sayyid al-Shuhada Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. And whenever you hear the same title of Aba Abdullah, and ahadith are being recited, or it's the traditions or the riwayat are being narrated, there Aba Abdullah means the sixth Imam, which is Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. Now, because the days are related to Muharram and Safar, most of the names that are mentioned over here as Aba Abdullah, it means it is Sayyid al-Shuhada. Coming back to our topic, and that is lessons of freedom that we learn and get from the tragedy of Karbala. We started with a report from Amir al-Mu'mineen, which said that La takun abda ghayrik wa qad ja'alaka Allah hurra, never be a slave of another when Allah has made you free. And then it was mentioned that whosoever bonds with the true Lord, which is Allah, he lives, he endures. As the true Lord, he wants him to live. Fake lords, they ruin an individual and they want him to be killed. If you look into Quran, Quran talks about two types of worship: worship of the true Lord and worship of the fake lords. And this is something which we learn from the history and the life of Anbiya. Among them is Ibrahim, the friend of Allah, Khalilur Rahman. A young lad, 8 or 9 years of age, starts his mission, which is the mission of prophethood. From that very young age, lives in a society, in a community, where many members of that community, they carve idols for the taghut of that time. People carving idols and working for the taghut. And at that tenth time, this young boy, he starts his mission. And his slogan is La Uhibbul Afilin, which Quran mentions quite a few times. La Uhibbul Afilin means I do not like that which sets down. Born in Babel, in Iraq, starts his young age there, starts his mission in the inhabitants of Babel, and the culture which he wants to promote is the culture of Allah. What is that? He wants to free everyone He wants everyone to get that freedom by linking and connecting to God by way of worshipping the true Lord. Prophet Ibrahim, he is the follower of the Sharia of Prophet Nuh. وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ. Although he himself is among the five top-notch or the Ulil Azm prophets, he himself is a possessor of a Sharia. But before that Sharia was given to Prophet Ibrahim, he follows the Sharia of Prophet Nuh. And his slogan is La Uhibbu al-Afilin. With that obedience he had to the Sharia of Prophet Nuh, all the elements of this universe, he finds as if everything in this universe is setting and coming to an end. Living in that community who worshipped stars, he says, okay, let me give it a go. And again, when he sees the stars, they start dispersing and setting, he says, La uhibbu al-afilin. I don't like something which sets. And then sees the moon is bigger than the star and starts worshipping the moon. Now, when he starts worshipping the stars and the moon and the sun, doesn't worship. It's to teach a lesson to those who are there in the community that something which sets is not worthy to be worshipped. When the moon comes out, says, Hada Rabbi, this is my Lord. When it sets, says, La uhibbu al-afilin, I do not like anything which sets. And then when the sun comes out, says, this is much bigger than the star, much bigger than the moon, has more light, is more worthier to be worshipped. But when it sets, says, La uhibbu al-afilin, I do not like anything which sets. So everything, he says, is moving towards an end, towards setting, towards perishing, or as Quran says, towards kuwirat, that coming to an end. If you look into this grand opening that Allah has created all for man, everything that has been created is for man. And it is like as such that if you have a guest and you have invited him to your house, what you do? You adorn, you put everything right, you cook the right food and meal, and when the guest is to come, you turn on the lights. Allah says that I prepared everything and my guest is the human being, my guest is man. And I've turned on the lights, the food has been laid, all the sustenance, the blessings have been provided. And when our guests that we invite, when they depart, you turn the lights off and everything is closed. He says, the moment this man, he departs from this dunya, I will turn the lights off, which is that sun, which will be turned off. The stars, they will be turned off. The moon will be turned off. So everything has been prepared for mankind as an honor, to be honored by Allah, because he is a distinguished guest of Allah. The moment he passes away, everything will be perished, closed. Prophet Ibrahim says that everything is coming to an end, towards perishing, and something which ends, La uhibbu al-afilin, I do not like that thing which sets. And then he says that Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal-ard, that I have turned myself to someone who has created the skies and the earth, who has originated everything, from whom is everything, blessings and sustenance are from him, he is to be worshipped because he is the true Lord and he deserves to be worshipped. One of the lessons that we get from Karbala is that worship only the true God, be free by worshipping that true God, and by worshipping him you will live. Worshipping anything else you will lose. The book of the events of Karbala, when you put the lessons together, you will find it a complete culture. And that is something which we learn by the attitude and the seerah of Aba Abdullah. Among the ayat that were recited a lot throughout this event is من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه منهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر. Among the examples that we could give for these free men or those who sought this freedom by relating to the true Lord and to the true deputies of the true Lord is Qais, among the representatives of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, who was sent to Kufa with a message. He was sent, and this is the fourth time he's being sent. When he comes to Kufa and sees that the atmosphere is against the Imam, and the message which he has to be delivered, he sees that if this message is delivered, it's going to get in wrong hands, and the consequences are going to be against the Imam. He rips that message, that letter, and swallows it. The message is delivered to the informers that this is what the representative of Abdullah has done, taken to Darul Khilafah. And there he's questioned that who was this letter addressed to? Name them. He says, no, I won't. What were the contents of that letter? I will not reveal. What is known is it was from Abu Abdullah. And then they say that, you know what the consequences are, you're going to be killed. He says, I know that. Then the temptations start. They say that you are young, just 28 years of age, strong, good looking, and it is a pity for you to be killed. They say that we'll give you all the wealth, all the riches, whichever place you want, we will locate you, but do one thing for us. What is that? They say that we'll prepare everything, a majlis, just ascend the pulpit and curse Ali and curse Hussein. That's it. Just do that and everything will be fine for you. In his heart he says that Imam wrote a letter to be delivered just to four people. By this opportunity I'm getting, I'll deliver the message to a wider crowd. He says okay, accepts, comes on to the member, to the pulpit, and then starts talking loud about Ahlul Bayt, glorifying them, and what the message of Abu Abdullah was, and what is he going to do. The message is given to everyone, and he is caught and killed, and the message of his shahada is given to Abu Abdullah. Qais is that free person, as defined by Amir al-Mu'mineen, who has sought freedom by connecting to the true Lord and to the deputies of the true Lord, he is free. Abu Abdullah, he cries. And the reports, they say that the way he shook and cried was something similar when he shook and cried when he recited Dua Arafah. Dua Arafah is a lengthy dua which is recited on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. He cries. For whom? For a young lad who served him, connected to him, who was free. And then he recites this ayah, which is مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْهُمْ قَضَى نَحْبَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. Among the men, among the mu'mineen, you will find some men who were truthful to what assignment was given to them from Allah. Some of them died and some of them are waiting. And then the report continues and says that he recited this dua saying that God make it as such that on the day of judgment and in the hereafter, in the paradise, keep them, which is these mu'mineen of that high caliber, with Ahlul Bayt together in the paradise. As a result of that freedom which they sought in this dunya, by relating to the true God. So Karbala, it teaches lessons on freedom, lessons on loyalty, and a few soldiers on the eve of the 9th of Muharram, and also on the 10th of Muharram, they found out that the truth is with Abu Abdullah, and Yazid is false, is the fake Lord. They come, take a twist, and come to Abu Abdullah and join him. What happens is, from Ashqiya'ullah, they come and elevate and gain a rank and get into Awliya'ullah or Asfiya'ullah, the chosen ones of Allah. Ashqiya means the one who are hatred, the ones who are shaqi. This is something we recite throughout the month of Ramadan and in the du'as that we have, that God make it as such that if we are registered among the ashqiya, among those who are evil and bad, erase us from that list and put us in the list of su'ada, which are the good. So lessons of loyalty that we learn from Karbala in addition to that freedom. On the contrary, we have personalities in Karbala that on the day of Ashura, they come to Abu Abdullah and Hussein and they say that, Imam, we know that you are on the right path and we know that Yazid is wrong. But by seeing the calculations over here, we know that definitely you will lose. But we have families to look after. They come to Abu Abdullah as if they've come to the doorstep of the paradise, and from there they are turning away. So there are people of that nature that we see in Karbala. لا تكن عبد غيرك وقد جعلك الله حرا. Never be a slave of another whence Allah has made you free. Another thing that we learn over here is that when these people, they switched from the wrong path and they came to the right path, right up to the doorstep of the paradise with Abu Abdullah, and from there they are turning away. Why did Abu Abdullah and Hussein not stop them, saying that, remain here, be with me, fight with me? Why didn't he do that? Or even on the eve of Ashura, the same thing can be seen, that he puts off the light and says to everyone, go, leave, depart. The allegiance which is my right, I will take that allegiance away. Meaning that if on the day of judgment Allah questions on this issue, that question also would not be a question. That is, I waive, I forgive, I will not. That question shouldn't be asked. Why does he do that? We have a very valid factor and element, which is, favors must never be accepted. A mu'min has no right to accept a favor. Sayyid al-Shuhada does not want to accept any favors. If someone wants to serve, serve with khulus, with sincerity, for the sake of God, for the will and wish and desire and want, not for favors, not for minna. Minna is not allowed. To understand this in easier words, about 60 years ago, during the time of Ayatullah al-Uzma Burujardi, who was among the leading Maraji' al-Taqleed of his time and was accepted globally, and he was the whole soul marja of that 1950s, 60s, etc. A wealthy businessman comes there to pay his khums, 50,000 tumans then, which was a large sum. And then those present in that majlis again were great ulama. They say that he gives that money. And after a while, Ayatullah Burujardi, he is in rage. He is sharp at him and says, take this money of yours and go away. Everyone is shocked. And at the time, he was in need of funds and finances. The scholarship to be given to 3,000 students in the Hawza of Qom, 2,000 per person for those who were married, 10 tumans for those who were single and 20 for those who were married. And he was in need of those funds. He leaves, and then the majlis is a pin drop silence. Says, what was it? He says that this person with this khums money that he has brought to me with so many favors and minnas on it, he wants me to take that money, and that is najis for me. An ibadah, which is giving away his, taking out his khums, which has to be a worship with khulus, with sincerity, with all that favors, that ibadah and worship is batil. That is not acceptable. And that money is for me najis, and I will not accept it. The lesson we learn over here is that the ruling is that if someone, for example, gives you funds, you have no funds to travel for Hajj, he says, I will pay you for your trip. But there are favors attached to that help of his. It is not wajib for you to perform that Hajj. It is haram to accept it. Or in even easier words, if you want to perform your wuzu, you have no water, but someone does have. He says, I'll give you this water, but there are favors attached to it. It is haram on you to accept it. And if even if you do perform that wuzu with that water, which has lots of favors attached to it, that wuzu is also batil. A mu'min, he is dignified, he is honored, and as it was mentioned, says, Al-mu'minu a'zamu hurmatan min al-ka'bah. The dignity of a mu'min is more than the honor of Kaaba. Kaaba is the house of God. Everyone faces that for every ritual of his. Says, the dignity of one mu'min is more than that. And by accepting favors, he has no right to ruin that honor which Allah has given him. Only one person has the right to do favors, and that is Allah. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ, as Quran says. It's only God who can have those favors on you. So Amirul Mu'mineen says, لَا تَكُنْ عَبْدَ غَيْرِكَ. Never be a slave of another, even in these little attachments, whence Allah, He has made you free. Again, to understand this whole idea of favors, or what Amir al-Mu'mineen has said and defined about the freedom, I'll recite a hadith, and that is amazing. Says that Yazid la'natullah alayh dakhala al-Madinah wa huwa yurid al-Hajj. He wants to perform Hajj and enters into the town. فَبَعْتَ إِلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّن قُرَيْشِ فَأَتَاهُ. Calls for a young man from Quraysh, and he is brought to the presence of Yazid. فَقَالَ, Yazid said, that do you admit أَنَّكَ عَبْدٌ لِي إِن شِئْتُ بِعْتُكَ وَإِن شِئْتُ إِسْتَرْقَتُ. Will you admit that you are my slave? That is, if I buy you, I'll buy you, and if I want, I will sell you. فَقَالَ لَهُ الرَّجُلُ. This is a lesson of freedom being taught by this person. That person says, وَاللَّهُ, by God, يَا يَزِيد, O Yazid, مَا أَنْتَ بِأَكْرَمْ مِنِّي فِي قُرَيْشْ حَسَبًا. Yazid, certainly, you are not better than me in Quraysh, in hasab, in rank. And then says, وَلَا كَانَ أَبُوكَ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ أَبِي فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وَالْإِسْلَامِ. Not me, neither are you better than me among the men of Quraysh. Not this, in addition to that, nor are you is better than my father, nor is your father better than my father in Jahiliyyah, in the era of ignorance, or even in Islam. In any case, I am better than you and your father. And then Yazid says, Minni fiddin. And then he continues and says that, Wama anta bi'afdal minni fiddin. Nor are you better in deen, in religion, than me, وَلَا بِخَيْرٍ مِنِّي, nor better than me. فَكَيْفَ أَقِرُّ لَكَ بِمَا سَأَلْتَ, then how can I admit that I be your slave if you want buy me, if you want sell me? And then Yazid says that in lam, if you do not admit that, I will kill you. This person, he says, لَيْسَ قَتْلُكَ إِيَّايَ بِأَعْظَمْ مِنْ قَتْلِكَ الْحُسَيْنِ ابْنِ عَلِي, that if you do kill me, this killing of yours will not be greater than what you have done. And that is, you killed Hussein, the son of Ali. You killed him. If you kill me, doesn't matter, nothing happens. And then he instructs, and that person is killed. A lesson of freedom, that how these people, before the arrogant of their time, instead of bowing down before them, even for such a small issue, they were free. That لَا تَكُنْ عَبْدَ غَيْرِكَ, never be a slave of another, whence Allah, He has made you free. I'll change the topic a little bit from now. Quran in an ayah says that الْخَبِيثَاتُ لِلْخَبِيثِينَ وَالْخَبِيثُونَ لِلْخَبِيثَاتِ وَالْطَيِّبَاتُ لِلْطَيِّبِينَ وَالْطَيِّبُونَ لِلْطَيِّبَاتِ. That is, in easy words, pure are for the pure and impure are for the impure. That is, everything that is clean is for clean, everything which is unclean is for unclean. Someone who has based his intellect in understanding these issues of tayyibat, of khabitha, of the purities, of the impurities. Now, purities and impurities, not in the sense of najasa and tahara. Anything could be pure, anything could be impure. May that be moralities, may that be otherwise. Someone who has laid the foundations of his life on purities, on moralities, on bounties, on goodnesses, such a, and he wants that goodness to be ruled on his life, in his life, that is, Allah, He is Jameel, wa yuhibbu kulla jamal. Allah is all beauty, wa yuhibbu kulla jamal, He loves everything which is beautiful. Because Allah is all beauty, He loves everything beautiful, I should do something that I myself become beautiful in every aspect, in ethics, in akhlaq, in character, so on and so forth. So someone who is not clean and pure, he cannot relate to someone who is pure. For me to relate to God who is all pure, I have to be purified myself. If I clean myself, purify myself, then I can connect and relate to God, become a reflection of God, as the ahadith that were recited yesterday from Ahadith al-Qudsiyya. Again, to understand this in easier words, Imam Askari alayhi salatu was salam, our 11th Imam, most of his life, again, he was imprisoned in the prisons of Samira. He has a representative, Ahmad bin Ishaq Qummi. He is the representative of our 11th Imam in Qum. And mu'mineen living in Qum, whatsoever problems they face, whatsoever questions they have, they come to Ahmad bin Ishaq and he sorts them out for them. And if he couldn't, he takes the questions.